Well, what do you think about all this? We're going to take your calls next with our guest, Marshall V. Beyond Summers, and I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Marshall, is there a possibility that this has been a dream of yours that happened as opposed to a real event of communication to you?
Well, in my experience, it most certainly was a real event. And after I received the briefings, I began to study the UFO literature, and I saw the correlation was very, very strong. And I saw that basically there's four questions that we have to deal with regarding the extraterrestrial presence in the world today. What is happening? Why is it happening? What does it mean? And how do we prepare? And I began to see that, you know, we really have to address the second three questions. Why is it happening? What does it mean? And how do we prepare? And the process of preparation is very important. And I think that we were talking about knowledge previously. The thing about knowledge is very important because it's the thing that gives us our core strength, both as individuals and as a race of people, as a human family. And if the human family can see that we have to unite, we have to be united in the universe. We cannot be a set of warring factions. We're going to have to unite to restore the planet, and we're going to have to unite at least to a greater degree than we are today to be able to engage with intelligent life in the universe. And this requires, I think, the most important preparation facing us at this time.
You know, Wernher von Braun had said a long, long time ago that he believes that there will be a false attack of an extraterrestrial presence and possibility to create war and control. This has been a possibility. I mean, this sounds like it's possible, yet you believe it's real.
Well, indeed, one has to wonder regarding events in the world today. Are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. One has to wonder regarding events in the world today, how easily it would be for an extraterrestrial presence to trigger another major war. And when you look at the Iraq war, for example, I mean, certainly human beings are capable of doing immensely foolish and unwise things. But the fact that we are driving ourselves into ever greater conflict and depletion in the world can only benefit an extraterrestrial presence and strengthen their position as the future overlords of our world. And I know that sounds very extreme to say that, but when we're dealing with the history of intervention and the reality of intervention, we have to talk in those kinds of terms. The intervention is supporting human conflict in the extent that it's weakening the strongest powers, sending or encouraging the United States to go into Iraq into an unwinnable, intractable conflict that weakens its allies, weakens its world support, drains it economically, divides its people. I mean, this is a very powerful form of divide and conquer, and we are very susceptible to that kind of persuasion. In the greater community, I mean, if you can influence what people think and believe, and you can do that extremely effectively without them ever knowing you're doing that, then you can control the behavior of others. And this represents a tremendous power of influence in the greater community.
Do these allies of humanity talk about the future? Do they see the future?
They talk about the future of humanity and a decision that we have to make, whether we're going to unite and face the greater community as a human family, or if we're going to go into a permanent decline. And if we go into a permanent decline, sooner or later, we will fall under foreign domination. And so we're facing a critical threshold right at this time in how we're going to regard the great waves of change, how we're going to regard how we function as a family of beings in this world, and how we're going to deal with the reality of contact. Contact now is not happening on our terms. It's happening on the terms of those who are intervening in our world. How are we going to deal with that? There's a very interesting document called the Declaration of Human Sovereignty that was drafted based upon the United States Declaration of Independence. It could be viewed at www.declarationofhumansovereignty.org. www.humansovereignty.org, and it begins to lay out, I think in a beginning way, the kinds of rules of engagement that we have to establish regarding all present and future visitations to our world. And in order to do that, we have to really see the self-destructive nature of war and conflict. If we continue in war and conflict, we will fall under foreign domination. It's just inevitable. So the Allies paint a picture of two possible outcomes for us. And it's really up to us, because we're creating the condition here on Earth that makes intervention possible and that can assure its success.
Let's take some calls. Let's go to West of the Rockies. Let's go first-time caller, first of all. Josh, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's up?
Good. You're in Portland, right?
Yeah, Portland, Oregon.
Right.
I've been listening to the Coast to Coast since I was 7.
How old are you now?
17.
All right.
Well, I had a question for Marshall, because I've been following the kind of first contact ordeal for a while, and I've been really interested in it, because when I was, like, really little, I had a lot of kind of UFO experiences, and I've always been really close to that. And but what you're talking about, I've heard that, we have to be careful about who we trust. You know, we put our keys to the kingdom to, these visitors that our government or authorities have been already establishing contact with. And then there's, the Disclosure Project and all of that that's pushing to get all this information out to the public and to prepare the people for contact. But do you think that there are maybe like higher dimensional entities, maybe not necessarily the physical 3D beings that you're talking about, who are aware of what's going on and who, are really on our side and are really for helping humanity and the ascension of our planet and to unite as a humanity and to really kind of join our galactic brothers and sisters, a galactic federation or Ashtark men. I don't know what you'd call it, but do you think that while there may be multiple species or 3D extraterrestrials who not necessarily have the better intentions, that there may be some higher dimensional forces that kind of have more authority over these, who are seemingly breaking the universal laws of free will and sovereign,
Well, I would think he thinks more physical, Josh, instead of dimensional. Would you not, Marshall?
Well, I think Josh brings up an important question, and that's when we look at higher dimensional beings really supporting human unity, human freedom, human sovereignty, entering into a very complex, competitive environment within the greater community in which we have always lived. And the angelic source of the greater community way of knowledge, which I consider to be a new message for humanity, absolutely advocates human unity, freedom, and sovereignty, so that all that has been contributed to the human family can come into a greater fulfillment. I mean, the greater community we're facing, in essence, is a maturing process for us. We cannot be reckless and foolish and self-destructive in the face of the greater community. And it is actually going to require us to unite and to begin to value our freedom and to value the world we live in, because it's interesting that the briefings mention the three things that every free nation in the universe must have, or must have to be free, and that is unity, self-sufficiency, and extreme discretion.
Next up, let's go west of the Rockies. Ben in Las Vegas, you're on. Hey, Ben.
Hi.
How's things going in Las Vegas?
Going pretty good. I just moved here. It's a little warm right now.
Yeah, it's hot.
I'm listening to your guest. I'm sorry I forgot his name, but I'm...
Marshall.
Marshall. Most of what I'm hearing isn't ringing real true with me, and I'm thinking that you're getting like a good cop, bad cop scenario. I think these two races of individuals, the one that's giving the information and the others. I think they're on the same side.
Well, actually, and this is a point, I think, of confusion about the allies that can be difficult to resolve, is that one group is telling us not to support intervention, to oppose intervention as being premature contact, saying that we're not ready for contact. And then you have the other group encouraging intervention, saying that they're here to provide wisdom, guidance, and peace to a warlike humanity. So their objectives are completely in opposition to one another. One is warning us against intervention, and the other is promoting intervention. And one is telling us that we can solve our problems, and the intervening forces are saying that we cannot solve our problems. So their entire agenda and the fact that one is intervening and one is not intervening sets them in complete contrast to one another.
Well, that's if they're telling the truth. And salvation by knowledge, I mean, that's a pretty old scenario. They used to call it Gnosticism.
All right, thank you. Let's go next. First-time caller line, Kyle in Portland. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Everybody's calling from Portland tonight. Go ahead.
Right. That's why I tried to go ahead and call. I had an interesting comment I'd like to make about everything he's been saying in the past 45 minutes. It almost seems like that everything he said and brought about, it almost seems kind of quantum in a sense that almost maybe it's a message from the past, because it almost seems like all that, everything you've been talking about has already been occurring up to this point today.
What do you think about that, Marshall?
Well, I'm not sure what Kyle means specifically as being referenced from the past.
All right, go ahead. Carl, elaborate a little bit more.
Well, it almost seems like everything that you've brought about tonight has, in one way or another, occurred. Maybe in the past.
Or you mean is occurring?
Almost like it's a message from maybe like 100 years ago or something like that. Like it's already those things have already been happening.
Or they're happening.
And they almost as if they have been happening.
Well, I don't know about that, Marshall.
Well, I'm not sure how to respond to Kyle's question, but the things that that we're talking about are definitely happening in the world today, and that an intervention such as happening in the world today wouldn't have happened 100 years ago, because at this present time, humanity has created an international network of communication and commerce that foreign races can use. We're beginning to establish new forms of power that could challenge any intervention in the future. And we're at the threshold, we have the risk of, you know, destroying the real value of this world through environmental depletion. And so all these three things have generated intervention at this time. Whereas before there was visitation, now we're dealing with intervention, and they're very different.
By the way, those of you trying to get a hold of Jordan Maxwell's website, jordanmaxwell.com, something has happened there. You get a message, forbidden server, you can't get through. I don't know what happened to him, and he doesn't answer his phone now. Strange things sometimes, Marshall. Strange things indeed. East of the Rockies, Kathy in Philadelphia. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. My question is basically two parts. First part, being the bearer, and I would imagine the you've practiced these steps of knowledge. I wanted to know how successful were you, and did this give the results that you think it will give to each one of us as far as knowledge we wouldn't be able to get on our own, the discernment and knowing who's friend from foe. Is it possible that you are still in communication of the allies through this method?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I believe the first question, Kathy, was, you know, my own experience of knowledge. I think that knowledge for me has given me so many benefits in life. It's brought my beautiful wife to me, who I've been with for 24 years. It has brought me a beautiful son. It has guided me away from certain things and towards certain things. It has just proven to be so immensely powerful. So when we talk about knowledge, when we bring it down to our daily life in the world, it's the most powerful guiding principle within us. It's really how God speaks to us. Is through this deeper intelligence called knowledge. This is our spirituality. This is our spiritual intelligence. My contact with the Allies has, I have not heard from them for quite a long time. They're no longer in our vicinity. But the revelation of the greater community way of knowledge continues. Yeah, it's just overflowing. And the newmessage.org website has, you can go and read this. I have entire books up online for people to read that are revealing the power and the presence of knowledge within each of us. And this is what makes us strong. This is what makes us whole. This is what gives us the power to discern truth from falsity. This is what gives us immunity from deception. And we're certainly living in a world full of deception. And ultimately, this is what gives us our core strength as a human family. And I think what the Allies are really here to do is to affirm that strength within us and tell us that we have to build that strength and rely upon it, because it holds the key to whether we will remain a free and sovereign race within a greater community of intelligent life.
You know, you talked about disclosure, government disclosure. Are we talking about the... See, I believe governments know. You know, we've had these incredible cases slowly released by the British government, the French. I think governments know that they're not fully disclosing. But are we talking about the same ET race as these that are intervening now, or is that a different one?
No. I mean, we're talking about one set of groups that are in the world and have been in the world.
Right now,
exactly. And what the government knows is dealing with these groups. These are the physical...
So why don't they tell us?
...intervening forces that everyone has had to deal with. I'm sorry?
Why don't they tell us? Why don't they reveal our government now? Why don't they just simply say, hey, this is what's been going on?
Well, that's a valuable question. I think when you ask that question, you have to think of, one, the public's response, two, what the government would have to reveal about itself to reveal the truth about the extraterrestrials. And it's interesting in our current events, what's coming out in the face of, you know, the banking crisis and the credit crisis and the housing crisis is showing immense human incompetence and corruption. And the government does not want to reveal its incompetence and corruption, and it also doesn't want to reveal its deepest secrets, which many of which are associated with the extraterrestrial presence in the world today. And so I think that the likelihood of the government revealing everything it knows about extraterrestrials is highly unlikely. And I wonder, and maybe this is a question we can talk about, is many of the people who are very distrustful of the government, skeptical of the government, seem all too willing to accept whatever the government would say regarding disclosure. And I think it would be very difficult to get a real and complete picture in any kind of disclosure from the government.
So I think those people, though, truly believe the government will never disclose, Marshall.
I don't think it will ever disclose everything we need to know, but I don't think we need the government to know the truth about the extraterrestrial presence in the world today.
No, but we do need some good whistleblowers.
We do need good whistleblowers, but we also need the people who have been influenced and affected, who have been impacted by the extraterrestrial presence, to begin to have a place to share their experiences. This is not a mystery. I want to make this point. This is so important. This is an event of nature. This is competition in nature. We're dealing with competition from beyond the world. We know what competition is in nature. We've been living in a world of competition. We have a history of competition. We have a history of intervention. And so I think the people hold a greater secret within knowledge within themselves than right. anything the government could reveal.
We're going to be back with some more questions with Marshall Vian Summers in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And also, isn't it unusual that Jordan Maxwell's server and the NighthawkZone.com folks' server would go down at the same time? Hey, if you're a Streamlink member, you get to chat with me tomorrow, 8 p.m. Pacific time. Just go to the coasttocoastam.com website and sit there and register to chat right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Marshall, some more of these 10-point summaries before we take some more calls. And also, where do you get your books, by the way?
The books can be ordered. Go to my website, www.alliesofhumanity.org. They can be ordered through any bookstore or any online bookstore, such as Amazon.com and so forth. And my books are there. And also, if you visit a website, For instance, the first edition of the Allies of Humanity is up online for free. You can read the entire...
And speak up a little bit more, Marshall.
I'm sorry. The first volume of the Allies briefings is on the Allies of Humanity website at www.alliesofhumanity.org, and viewers can read the book online, or they can order it through any bookstore.
All right, back to the phones we go. Maggie in Tempe, Arizona. Hello, Maggie.
Hi. I just wanted to ask you, Marshall, are you familiar with the Alex Collier material? Because the message seems so similar.
No, I'm not. I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, the message that I get from that is that I find it very empowering, and I feel that the message that you're giving us, or whoever is giving us, is that we have more power than we realize we have.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And yeah. we have a great spiritual power, and we don't realize our own strength. And it has to be brought to the fore now. We are living in a time of immense change and challenge. And this is a time for everyone to step forward with the gifts that they have brought into this world. And I think that is the greater message of my work, is contribution to a world in need and the realization of the power that we've been imbued with.
Is there a downside on any of this, Marshall? Something we should be concerned about?
Well, I think the risks are very great. I mean, the risks of facing a world in decline are very great. And we need a new way forward. I mean, clearly, if we continue to behave in the ways that we have, fighting and competing over resources, nations trying to undermine one another, then, you know, we're not going to make it. We're really going to go into a state of permanent decline. And if we do not establish our intentions to be a free race in the universe, if we do not offset intervention, if we do not make it known to any power watching us that we are a free people and we are a self-determined people, then, you know, we're going to have great difficulty. And I think the conditions that we live in really call for our integrity and our strength to come forward. We've created an environment where we must now be able to respond effectively to our environment and ultimately to the greater community itself.
Let's go to Portland, Oregon again. You're on the air with us. Hey, Trace.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thanks.
Yeah, listen, I mean, this is kind of all related into everything that you guys are discussing tonight. I'd like to actually address this issue of this constant feeling that you've been mentioning, you know, like the feeling like something's coming up.
Yes.
Every time we talk about the feeling, we always mention 2012. And you'll see the connection when we look at 2012 and the end of the Mayan calendar and the kind of influence that an author like Eric von Daniken believes that extraterrestrials may have had in South American civilizations. This feeling that we're having, I strongly believe, is really just the feeling that it's really more of an end of an era, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, rather than, I mean, we've become so accustomed to our North American, to our North American way of life that we've accepted that this is sort of the end all and the be all, that our iPods, our cell phones, our stock market, the way that we deal with things, the way that we handle ourselves, the kind of the kind of ideological beliefs that Americans invoke in America. This comes down to a political and a social level as well. We kind of believe that this is really it. You know what I mean? Like, can you really imagine a world without America? I mean, really, really think about that for a second. A world without Western civilization. This feeling that you're addressing, I believe, is just really the end of an era. America's time is really coming to an end. The world's tallest building is in Dubai. The world's largest mall is in Macau. You know? The international languages of business have switched from English and French to English, Spanish, Arabic, and Cantonese and Mandarin. You know? We're in such a changing times, and now we just might even have a black president, something that was completely ridiculous 30 years ago, 10 years ago, you know what I mean? It was a ridiculous thought 10 years ago, and I know because I lived in Los Angeles around the time of the L.A. riots and all that, and the belief that we'd ever have the potential to have a black president was absolutely ridiculous.
And he's got a great chance.
Oh, exactly. He has an amazing chance, you know. But coming down to the point of the end of an era, it's hard to let go of what we're used to. And so to even, you know, like you turn on your TV, you see a ton of evangelists saying it's the end of times, the end of times, there's all this chaos, gas prices, blah, 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 blah. This is just it. Capitalism is really coming to an end. And if we look into a codex, a Mayan codex called the Indigo Prophecy. And again, it kind of relates just because of the kind of influence that certain theoretical communities have come to believe that Mayan civilization had some sort of extraterrestrial influence and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
There was something called the Indigo Prophecy. It was a codex. And it was a prophecy that was very similar to the Book of Revelations. It was a prophecy that indicated that we would have one part of the world would be full of chaos and panic and would essentially be full of darkness. And the other, one is darkness, one is light, one is pure, one is evil.
Well, don't you have to have the positive with the negative?
There's always a positive to the negative, and this is ancient Gnostics.
Yes.
This goes back to the Babylonian era. We've always had Gnostics in the form of positive and negative. There's always a God, and there's always a devil. There's always that feeling of fear and that feeling of security. There's always that feeling of good and that bad nature, right?
Well, if this message, Marshall, that these allies of humanity bring, I mean, what do they think of this planet, truly?
Oh, well, the allies' briefings show an immense regard for this world and immense regard for humanity. And they constantly emphasize, you know, that we are not using our greatest strength and ability. We do not realize how incredible this world is. If we had a real understanding of life in the universe, we would never denigrate this planet. We would behave entirely differently than we have and that we do.
A lot of evil people.
Well,
but I think there's more good.
We're all involved in this together, and certainly, if I may respond to one point that the questioner brought up.
Sure.
The end of an era. If we look at this from a greater community perspective, this is an end of an era in the sense that our isolation in the universe is over. It is over. From here on, we are going to have to deal with intervention, influence, competition, communication, contact. We're going to have this ongoing. And I think on a larger scale, beyond, you know, the dynamics between nations, between East and West and North and South, the human family itself is emerging into a greater community of intelligent life. And the books that I've written, Wisdom from the Greater Community, which is in two volumes, brings a wisdom from beyond the world to us to prepare us for probably the biggest transition that we have ever faced. This is it. I mean, we are literally standing at the threshold, and I think the Allies is just bearing testimony to that, in that so many of us feel this immense sense of change, immense sense of impending change, however we might interpret it, whether we interpret it historically, whether we interpret it culturally, politically. We are at some kind of major threshold, and what in my writings and greater community spirituality and the greater community way of knowledge, it really points to the end of isolation for humanity. And that is going to change religion. That is going to change how we live, how we perceive ourselves, and how we must behave going into the future.
Let's go east of the Rockies. Your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi, George. How you doing? This is Keith from Chesapeake, Virginia.
Hey, Keith. Thanks.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Take
it away.
Hey there, Marshall. How are you?
Hello, Keith.
Great. Hey, I had some questions for you. First, I wanted to kind of lay out the basis of my calls. I had some close encounters with UFOs in my life that were approximately 300 feet from me. My second sighting that I had in later years was exactly how I asked for it to happen, which was pretty phenomenal to me. I believe I've had some type of mental contact with other beings, you know, in the realm of my sightings.
Yeah, and what kind of contact was that?
Well, it was some type of mental. There wasn't actually physical, or I wasn't abducted or anything like that.
Friendly, though? Good information, or was it negative?
Well, no information, really. Just I was trying to find out, you know, where they came from and if it was real. And that was my confirmation of my second sighting, because my first sighting happened when I was growing up and we were camping outside, me and my friend, my best friend, in his backyard outside. And we it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. You know how kids are when they play. We you know, we were goofing off at 3 a.m. in the morning. We were about like 12 or 13. And then we were just sitting out on his porch outside. Of course, this wasn't a screen porch. We were about 300 feet or so from the cornfield. And my friend screamed out to me, said, "Keith, look, you know." And we looked up to the cornfield, and there was a kind of like a picture book or Steven Spielberg UFO out hovering above the cornfield with all the lights, like one of them in the Close Encounters movies, hovering out there. And it probably, we saw it for 15 seconds, and I was frightened to death. I pulled the covers over my head and kind of peeked out, and then it whisked away. And then it just one of those things that always haunted me, I guess you could say, for lack of better words, for years. And I...
Did you get a message from all of this?
Well, later on in my years, I'm 52 now, but...
Yeah, you're a baby.
And later on in my years, it's been something that I've always been trying to attempt some type of contact, and I've always been a stargazer. I've been involved with astronomy clubs and things like that, and just asked questions up into the heavens before, and basically said, if you're real, or, you know, I'd like to see this. And I asked for, because I was curious on how the UFO craft flew, and I was trying to ask where they were from, where you came from, and I was kind of directed to the Pleiades star cluster in mental thoughts. And I'd asked, you know, for another sighting. I asked them to, I'd like to see a UFO without any lights on. You know, and then when I was 26, living in Lowell, Delaware, that was when I had my second sighting, and that's exactly what happened. I saw a craft that, as I was coming home from work, it's really weird, a craft that when I was coming back to my apartment, I crossed over the bridge by the lake, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and I thought what I saw was a truck or something, like a pickup truck, coming up to me close in my rearview mirror, and I was afraid that maybe he was drunk or something by the way the lights looked, and thought he might hit me.
A drunk E.T. Marshall, I guess the point, too, that Keith's saying is that he's been looking for these answers, where they're coming from, and it looks like they're not telling him.
Yes. Well, this is. First of all, I'd just like to acknowledge that I felt strongly when Keith was speaking to us that he's really a greater community person. He's a person who has an inherent connection to life beyond this world, and I think that many people in the world today have this connection, and yet it's very confusing with our own sense, our normal sense of ourselves as human beings, and our normal sense of ourselves, you know, living in societies and so forth, that we have this mysterious connection or sense of destiny to life beyond our world. And, you know, I want to make it really clear that throughout my writings, and the point I'd like to make tonight is, you know, our destiny is in the greater community. I mean, this is where we're heading. This is where humanity can fulfill itself. And yet there's very challenges to crossing this threshold. And I think that's what the allies are really talking about.
Yeah, but what's disappointing is that you get visited, you being me and you and everyone else, by ETs that aren't really friendly, that have their own agenda. And to me, that's disappointing that they'd be out there coming.
And it's that's a tremendous quandary. I mean, the sightings that I've had, it's very troubling because you're seeing something that's very, very different, and yet you have no answers.
You would think if they had the technology and evolved to get here, they would have changed. So it doesn't sound like they have. So what does that tell you about us?
Well, technology doesn't change who you are.
No.
I mean, and so here
we are. But knowledge should.
Exactly. I mean, that's why when the Allies talk about knowledge being the most powerful force in the universe, they're talking about this is the thing that really strengthens you and uplifts you and enables you to function in a much higher capacity. Because, I mean, technology in the universe, in our in the greater community in which we live, is something that can be purchased and stolen and copied and so forth. But knowledge is really the tool for seeing and knowing and discerning. And that power is something that even few in the universe have. The Allies talk about how rare freedom is in the universe, which is something surprising. We would think that advanced technological societies would have outgrown deviousness and selfishness, but it's just not the case. I mean, technology does not raise the moral and ethical dimensions of an individual. It takes a whole other power within us to do that, and that is the power of knowledge.
If you were around during the days that Michael Rennie came down in a spaceship and landed in Washington, D.C., and unfortunately they shot him the day the Earth stood still, you remember that one, right?
Oh, gee. I don't recall that myself.
Well, you remember the robot?
Oh, the robot, yes.
And all that?
Mm-hmm.
What would you have done if you were in that audience and then some soldier took a pot shot at him, this alien walking down the ramp?
I'm not sure how to respond to that question. I think, you know, showing hostility in that situation is certainly unwarranted. But again, it's the reality shift that is so dramatic for us, is that we're not prepared for the reality that we live in a greater community. And I think that education really needs to happen. I mean, that's part of the preparation that we need to have. Otherwise, sightings and encounters have an immense shock value. And when people are shocked, many people respond violently to that.
Website, which ones do you recommend again?
I recommend the Allies of Humanity website.
.org?
.org, okay. And the New Message, www.newmessage.org. And there you'll see the writings about greater community spirituality, the greater community way of knowledge, and just covers a tremendous number of really important subjects.
And the books are available where again?
They're available through any bookstore or online through Amazon.com and so forth.
And will the messages come back? You said they haven't talked to you in a while.
They haven't, but I think that may change in the near future, because I think there's a different set of circumstances now emerging in our world with the decline of our environment. And that sets us into really a different stage in this whole encounter we're having with intelligent life beyond our world.
All right, very good. Marshall Vian Summers, the Allies of Humanity, trying to sort through this and save this planet, but maybe we have to be the ones to save it. After all, maybe that's the big message. Well, when I come right back, we'll have open lines. Plus, I'd like you to share, because I'm one of those feel-good knights, I want you to share a story of one of the best things that ever happened to you or that someone did for you. I want to see if there's any goodness left out there. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.